Well, good morning. I do greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I invite you to open your Bibles with me, please, to the heart of the Bible. Right in the middle, you'll find Psalm 23. Many people have tagged this as the most well-known piece of literature in the world today. The 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm. We'll be closing out our series on the heart today. As we realize that February, you notice inside of your bulletin, your worship guide there, February is National Heart Awareness Month. And we've already been to the doctor, the great physician, Dr. Almighty, God Himself. In week number one, we had a spiritual checkup of this church. How do we compare to the scriptures? Dear friends, you and I can agree together and still be wrong. How many of you know that to be true? The whole world can agree together and still be wrong. This is the canon. This is the measuring rod. That's why we always begin our services with these five words. Open your Bibles with me. Many of you have already tagged that as an introduction here to First Baptist Church and our worship services. Well, in week number one, we had a spiritual checkup of the church at large. And then week number two, we got a little bit closer to a checkup as we went to God Almighty on behalf of ourselves. How's your heart? How's your DNA? How are you doing with God right now? And a lot of times we men are guilty of this. We go to the doctor and the doctor says, you need to do this and this and this. And we leave there and we say, that quack, he doesn't know anything. And your wife meets you in the parking lot. What did the doctor say? Oh, he said, I'm fine. And we do the same thing when it comes to our spiritual health, our spiritual heart. So today we're not here to beat up on anybody. We're just reviewing the church and then us as individuals. And then last week, we considered one person, a man, the Bible says, after God's own heart. For 10,000 Bible points. Does anybody recall who we studied last week in great depth? Anybody remember? It was King David. And we learned last week that King David was a man God sought out. A man after his own heart. We understood the allegories, the metaphors, the imageries, the similes. We had a chance to unpack that. But we also learned that David encompasses more in the entire Bible, more chapters in the Bible than everybody else other than Jesus. That came as a surprise to me in my personal study. You think about names like Elijah, Elisha who followed. You think about Joseph. Chapter 37, all the way to chapter 50 of Genesis. He takes up at least 13 chapters. You think of Moses. You think of all these other great patriarchs of the faith. Father Abraham. They carry about 15 chapters or so in the Bible that are devoted or mentioned to them. Friends, at best I can count, David has over 60 chapters of the Bible. So last week when I left here, I said, Lord, in a matter of 30 minutes, we try to describe the life of a man after your own heart. How he came out of the field. How he's watching his father's sheep. And now you're going to anoint him. And he'll be watching God's sheep, the nation of Israel, the Jews and the Gentiles. We learned last week that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the, say it with me, on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. So last week it was about boots, blue jeans and boots. And I tagged it last week. I said, dear friends, when you come to church here at Fairleigh, we want you to know you have on your church clothes. It's not about a bow tie or blue jeans. Your heart is what God is looking at. You see, we as Christians, we as people, we need to see things as God sees. Everybody is welcome here. I remember back in the days, you were required to wear a suit to church, or you were required to wear a dress to church. And we had this old deacon stand in a pastor's conference. And he said, boys, I'm going to tell you something just happened in our church. That this vagrant came in off the street. You could smell him before he came, and he walked right down the aisle. And he didn't have no more sense than walk right down the aisle, and he sat down here in the front. And everybody's looking at me like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do about this guy? He didn't look the part. He certainly didn't dress the part. He smelled. He sat down, took off his socks and shoes. Everybody look at me, and this church service was starting. He said, you know what I did? I got up, I marched right down there, and I took off my socks and shoes and sat down with that man. I'm ready to break my heart as a young preacher boy. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the, say it with me, the heart. And the heart of David is seen in Psalm 23. It would be a great injustice if we just put David on the shelf and continued on with our heart study without considering the greatest piece of poetry, the Jewish hymn book, found in Psalm 23. So let's read it together, shall we? And then we'll see what God has for us today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in what? Green pastures, not the desert, green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for whose sake? His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And here's a song we love to sing around here. Surely goodness and mercy, in verse number 6, shall follow me for how long, class? All the days of my life. Why? Because I will be dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless the preaching and teaching of His holy word. I invite you again to follow along in your Bible as we'll be unpacking the characteristics of David's heart when he wrote this. Was David without sin? Of course not. We'll be discovering that as well. All of us are sinners in need of a Savior. And this is the first thing we will find here on the overhead. The characteristics of David's heart is found here in this beloved psalm is in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. What's a characteristic? It's alive. Write this down, please. It's alive. The Lord is. This is written in present tense. When I read this at a funeral, I'll often say at the graveside or whatever, dear friends, this is not past tense. This is for the living, for the now. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? It's not rhetorical. I'm asking you very pointedly today. How's your heart with God right now? Class, you and the radio listening audience and those listening again on the podcast, how's your heart with God right now? Is your heart alive? Or are you dead and you're trespassing in sin? We need to nail this down first. We are sinners in need of a Savior. If you agree with that, say amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one person. But God's not going to leave us in our dead heart and our trespass in the sin. He wants to make your heart alive. He wants to quicken it. He wants to unite it with Him. So when you hear boys and girls say, I gave my heart to Jesus, that's theologically accurate. That's theologically accurate. They don't want to become united, one with Jesus Christ. When I lived in California, we loved the springtime of the year. You can feel the wind blowing out there. We moved from Boone County, I say, to California. We were the first Beverly Hillbillies there. Had everything but grandma back in the truck. When we moved out, the wind blew in Southern California all the time. But all the kids in my neighborhood, they got together. We went to a park up on there in the city in Santa Paula. And everybody flew kites. That's long before all the electronic phones and all the Game Boys and all that. We actually played outside and climbed trees and built forts. Can I get amen? Well, flying a kite was a big to-do. And there's a story told about one little boy's holding to this kite. Some of us got really ingenious. You could tie a kite because the wind blew just ferociously coming off the Pacific Ocean there. You could take your fishing pole and you could tie it to that. Once it got up there, you could just reel out all the line you wanted. Sometimes it would just hide up in the clouds. And a man came by and said, what are you all doing? Well, that's a dumb question. What are you doing? Well, I'm flying a kite. And the man said, I don't see it. How do you know it's there? And I love the little boy said, hold on to the string. You can feel it tugging. You get that? When people ask you, how do you know God lives in your heart? Because you can feel Him tugging. You know He's there, pulling at your heart string. That's what I find here in verse number 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. God's pulling. You feel that tug on your heart? If not, you very well may not be saved. Well, you're saying that trying to scare me into hell. No, I'm trying to scare the hell out of you. We've already spent a lot of time in hell just this past month. People say you shouldn't cuss. No, that's a literal place. You either a saint or you're an ain't. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. There's no in between. It's pretty simple. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be, say it with me, saved. We all quote John 3:16, but we forget about verse 17. So I'm asking you today, apart everything else in your heart checkup, as we consider the life of David, David knew Jesus Christ. David knew God in a very personal and profound way. How about you? Is your heart alive? Or is it dead in your trespass and sins? Well, if it's dead, it can be made alive today. Dr. Almighty can anew you today. Wow, isn't that exciting to think? You got up this morning, the birds were singing, the clouds were pushing back. You thought, rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. You're just going out today. Are you that morning person? If not, don't get around me because I'm a morning person. And yet I thought, dear God, what a great day for 1, 2, 3 people to get saved. To understand Psalm 23 in the present tense, not that he was or will be, but he is God your shepherd. The characteristic of David's heart found in verse number 1, alive. He is and continues to be. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Not only was his heart alive, David's heart also was contented. Write that down, please. We advance the slide in the back. He was contented. I shall not want. Wow, think about this. King David wrote this. He said, I shall not want. And yet he still had an illicit affair with Bathsheba. Did I not tell you he wasn't above reproach? Anybody know who Robert Kraft is? Been following the news lately, you do. The billionaire. His earthly worth, financially speaking, is $6.6 billion. He's the owner of the New England Patriots. He's caught in a brothel in Florida. I can't believe you're talking about this. We need to talk about this. Amen. We men will be going to an Ignite conference. We have Jeff Foxworthy coming there and Deshaun Williams and Jackson. We got professional football players. David Jeremiah has been there before and Johnny Hunt, all these great speakers. We come together. We need to let our hair down and get right with God. This multi-billionaire whose wife passed with cancer in 2011 at 77 has been frequenting brothels. Some people say it's none of our business. I tell you something, the NFL says their business because we have strict, the NFL does. They have strict rules about this. But other people say it's not really our business what a man does. Let me tell you something. If that was your daughter, if that was my daughter, it'd be my business. If that's your wife or my wife, I'm not condemning him of human trafficking that some people have already thrown a blanket out. We don't know that. I'm just saying again, there's a responsibility as men and women of God after God's own heart to walk with God. God gives us all of our desires. Look at this. I shall not want. He was contented. He was contented. Has anyone ever read the classic marriage counseling book by Gary Chapman, The Five Love Languages? Raise your hand if you ever read the book, The Five Love Languages. Thank you so much. Years ago, you went through marital counseling long before all the other books and DVDs and everything. You had this one book. This man, Gary Chapman, discovered five love languages. I want you to sit back and just listen. You don't need to keep notes. Just listen. And I'm going to ask you, if your spouse is still living today, do you understand their love language? Can you relate? Are you, again, encouraging their love language in your marriage? How to speak your partner's love language. Let me give you the top five. And again, many of us in counseling, we've used these over and over again. Some men, some women, some wives, some husbands, some mothers, some fathers, their love language is just words of affirmation. Honey, I love you. I thank you for what you do around here. It goes to the man or to the woman. When my father died, we had to teach mother how to put gasoline in her car. Now, she started driving many years ago. And my father said, you'll never touch a lawnmower. Don't anybody get mad. It's just a different generation. honey, I take care of the outside of the house and all the automobiles. Treat her like a queen. The man could not boil water. He knew nothing about a kitchen. He knew one time when he retired, he washed the clothes. Guess what he did, ladies? He put them all together to save time. Everything came out pink. Mother said, Hayes, stay outside. You see, but words of affirmation, just I love you. That may be your love language. If not, find out from your spouse. What's your love language? What really feeds you? What really gets you excited? What makes you feel appreciated? It could be simple words. It could be a physical touch. Gentlemen, if your wife puts out her hand, it would serve you well to hold hands with her when you're walking through the mall. But I know, but I was really like, that's not your love language, but that's her love language. Make a sacrifice. Hold your wife's hand in public. And all the ladies said, amen. A personal touch, a back rub, intimacy. That may be the love language. The third one down here is receiving gifts. Here's an easy one. I know men in this church, they buy their wives flowers often. Or they'll buy a little gift here. It could be nothing. It could be from the dollar store. Some ladies, they thrive on that. Hey, you don't need to tell me how good I am to you. Just buy me a little trinket just to show me. It could be just something from Retro Donuts, and all the girls said amen. I don't know. The fourth one down here is quality time. This is something we all could do better with. Honey, I just want quality time with you. My greatest James Dobson story is his wife, who's in charge of the National Day of Prayer. What's her name, ladies? Shirley Dobson. And Shirley Dobson said she discovered this. When James Dobson, the great Biblist, pastor, counselor, whatever else he really is, writer, when he came into a room, his love language was quality time with her. If she had the television set on, she said, I learned this. When James came in the room, I cut off the TV. About the second or third time that I did that, he looked at me. He said, thank you for showing me the respect to look at me when I'm talking to you, spending this quality time. She said, girls, I didn't have to buy them a thing. Not a fishing pole, not a gun, not a truck. All I had to do was just look at my husband. That was his love language. He didn't need gifts. He just needed quality time. The fifth love language simply may apply to you is acts of service. Here again is my father. My father, he taught me the same thing with my wife. You open a door. I love John Wayne when he did that many years ago, and he opened a door for a woman, and this woman was really having a problem with it. Said, you close that door. You close that door. You're doing that just because I'm a woman. He said, no, little missy, I'm doing that because I'm a gentleman. Amen? You do that whatever you want to. An act of service, just fixing the lunch, preparing a meal, washing the dishes. Now, don't be all carnal about it. Honey, you know them dirty socks been laying on that banister for the last 3 weeks? Board of Sanitation issued us a warrant for my arrest. I want you to know I took them dirty socks and I put it right in the hamper for you. Well, la-dee-da. Woo! You really showed her how much you loved her, amen? Picked up your dirty socks. Let me go back and review, because I'm going to ask you how you show your love for God. Person to person. Parents to children. Children to parents. Husbands and wives. Do you extend words of affirmation? How about the personal touches? How about receiving, exchanging gifts? How about spending quality time? And lastly, with acts of service. Here again, I ask you, how do you show your love for God? Well, I'm here, aren't I? Yes, you are. But you come to church to receive a blessing, and you leave church to be a blessing. You get that? How's your heart with God right now? David's heart was contented. David's heart was alive. But it doesn't mean that David's heart was right with God. You think about this, men. I'm going to get off the men. I can say this because I is one. The greatest man who ever ruled Israel is this man we're studying today. King David. God called him the apple of his eye. He was his chosen vessel. You are the greatest king who ever ruled over mankind. And he had a problem with adultery. The greatest had a problem. The wisest, who was David's son, who wrote the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Solomon, he had a problem with the way he approached women. And then Samson certainly had a problem the way he treated and approached God's women, God's vessels of beauty and honor. So if you consider this, the greatest, the wisest, and the strongest struggled with the flesh. Don't you think it's likely we may have some men here, some Robert Crafts here who need to stay at home, we need to get right with God. Be contented. Drink from your own cistern, the Bible says in another place. His heart was alive. Look at your Bible, verse number one alone. The Lord is my shepherd. His heart was contented. I shall not want. By the way, how many of you have discovered that God gives you all of your needs and even some of your wants? Anybody else ever studied that? God gives me all I need. Sonny was telling me today when he came in with his beautiful children. Mama and baby are home. Evie. They'll be here soon enough. But he said, let me tell you how good God has been to me. I love to hear that. How good God has been to me. And the daughter was in the hospital for almost a month, and he's bragging on God today. God's given me the desires of my heart. And even some things I don't even know how good God is. He's still blessing me. The third characteristics of David's heart, which we find down here, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Write down the word obedient, please. Not only was David's heart alive and contented, look in verse number two. He makes me. Sometimes he has to do that. He makes us to lie down. Wow. Today we'll be singing the beautiful old hymn. Search me, O God. Know my heart today. God sometimes has to make us to be still and listen to him. Listen to the history of this beautiful old hymn. James Edwin Orr was born in 1912. His education includes earned doctorates from universities in Europe, Asia, Africa, and America, including the Doctor of Philosophy from Oxford University and Ed from the UCLA in 1971. He was a professor in the School of World Missions at Fuller Theological Seminary, where he taught courses in the history of missions to career missionaries. In his many travels, Dr. Orr has visited 150 countries. Yet despite these numerous lifelong accomplishments, J. Edwin Orr will no doubt be best remembered as the author of the simple hymn, Cleanse Me, O God. Dr. Orr recalls that he wrote Cleanse Me in a poem, in a text, in 1936. During an intense moment with the moving of the Holy Spirit at Easter, he was so excited about it, he shared it at a convention in New Zealand. Well, it goes on to say, over throughout the course of this convention, the Holy Spirit of God fell fresh in them. The revival broke out there in New Zealand. And the news spread, and Orr reports that as he was leaving New Zealand to his next appointment, four Aborigines girls approached him and sang for him his beautiful song as a farewell address in a little tune they knew. He was so impressed with the beauty of this Polynesian melody that he soon went back to his room and he transformed his verses into the tune that we'll be singing today at the close of our service. It's taken from Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God. You'll find that there in your handout. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way. Lead me in your ways of everlasting, and so on and so on and so on, which we'll be joining here together, singing in response to today's message. Well, you see, David was obedient. David was obedient to God. And he was tagged as a man after God's own heart. He was obedient to God. When he is called in after his seven brothers were refused, think about this now, Jesse, King Saul has been rejected. If you go back and you look in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14, and a whole text right there, you see King Saul made some horrible, horrific, egregious disobedience to God. Saul was anything but obedient. He was a polar opposite of obedient. He was disobedient to God. And he wouldn't even wait on Samuel to come and offer the sacrifice. And that's when God just told Samuel, I'm done with him. I've chosen a man after my own heart. This man was a boy, probably about 14 years of age. But he said, go to the house of Jesse, offer the sacrifice, and I will call in the one I'll be anointing from the house of Jesse. Can you imagine when Samuel shows up to your house? Jesse, get all your boys together. All of them lined up like we did here last week on this stage. All of them were fit men, certainly qualified, just like last week here on this stage. Just a quick review. All of them. But God said, I looked. That's not the one. The one I want is out there with some stink on him. He's got some sheep on him. That one out there serving me, that one out there is obedient. You bring him in. Can you imagine? He left the house that morning with his little sack lunch, going out to work the sheep. And he came back when he entered the house. Now he's the King of Kings over the nation of Israel. Wow. He left a shepherd. And now he comes back in as the greatest king who ruled over God's people. Think about your life. Are you being blessed? Are you living out God's purpose? I'm just asking. When you left today, when you leave this week, are you living out God's will? God has so much more for us, but we just soon go another way. If you're obedient, God will use you. He's done in my life. He did in the life of David. He can do it in your life as well. It's one of the characteristics of our hearts. By the way, you'll see later on, the King Saul didn't learn. See, Saul didn't really know what was going on. The only way he's doing things that was just disobedient to God, he wouldn't do something as simple as the Amalekites were enemies of God. And God told Saul to tell, told Samuel to tell Saul, we got to wipe this sect of people out. Don't salvage anything. Wipe them out, the enemy of God, and all their livestock and everything. None of their spoils. We want none of that mess. We want nothing the world has to offer. If you know 1 Samuel chapter 15 to 16, he didn't do it. He kept the king. He kept back the spoils. He kept back some of the chosen sheep and the cattle. And Samuel shows up, and watch this. Samuel says, what's that noise I hear? What's that bleating I hear? What's that mooing of the cattle I hear? And listen to how King Saul, who's going to be replaced by this little shepherd boy, listen to how he, in disobedience, how he threw the people under the bus. He said, they did that. Yeah, your people did that. They did that. You're in charge, Saul. This is why you're no longer going to be king. You're disobedient. How many know God will not and cannot bless sin? How many know that? Maybe the rest of you didn't understand the question. God will not and cannot bless sin. That's what we pray for America all the time. We're going to love all people. Amen? We're going to love all people. But not at the expense of compromise. God forbid. Travel back in your own mind's eye to your own grandparents. What's going on in America today? You tell me. How would your grandparents react? Oh, honey, we can't even talk about that. That's nasty. I don't want to talk about it. I'm not talking about the sexual immorality, just the lack of concern for life and morals and standards and anything that's remotely God-honoring. We got to be obedient. We'll be people after God's own heart. The next one we find out down here, he restores my soul. He was thankful. He was thankful. Thank you, God. Over 800 times I can find the word heart referred to in the Bible. Time is pressing, but let me just read some of my favorite verses. You sit back and just enjoy this. He was thankful that God gave him a new life. He restores my soul. He quickened me, gave me new life in my senior translation. Well, listen to these verses about the heart. Above all else, guard your heart, it says in Proverbs 4:23. Do we have any Steve Green fans? Now I'm talking 1990s contemporary music. Any Steve Green fans here? Any Steve Green? I'm such a huge Steve Green fan. Any Steve Green? All right, do this. Pull out your phone, I don't care, in the middle of the sermon, and Google Steve Green 1994. Guard your heart. That's where he gets his verse from. It'll change your quiet time with God. Fernando Ortega, we have any Fernando Ortega fans here? Thank you. You want to spend quiet time with God? Turn off the junk. You can get some quality Christian music. Steve Green, 1994. This is the one that's on his album. Are you ready for this? That's when albums were about this big. Remember those things? 1994. He wrote, are you ready? You know this song, People Need the Lord. Everybody said, woo! He came to our church in Richmond, Virginia. He walked a balcony around. Thousands of people there walked a balcony around. And people said, what is he doing? And Steve Green, he was singing through the church that seated thousands. And he said, people need the Lord. He's singing this song. We're all singing together. He said, but folks, that's not really my favorite song. If you look on that same album, you will see Guard Your Heart. Guard Your Heart. You find this from Proverbs 4:23. Listen from Proverbs 27. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. When I see someone just vile and angry and combative, I don't get angry at that person. I feel sorry for them because their heart is not right with God. Does that make sense? Their heart is not right with God. People say, he's saved, she's saved. I'm saying, really? Where's the evidence? Where's the love of Christ? Where's the smile? Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. With your whole heart. Rather than just something to do, tip of the hat, kiss on the cheek. You know this one, Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him and he will do what? Direct your paths, make your paths straight. Here's my favorite one, Psalm 37, verse 4. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus Christ said above all everything else, this is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. In Matthew 22:37, part of the Shema taken from the Old Testament. And you're sick? Are you hurting today? Maybe Dr. Almighty says, here's your medicine. A cheerful heart maketh for a good medicine. Proverbs 17:22. And of course, we all know this as Jesus camped out on this. Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Also, your heart will be also where your treasure is. Many of you use this in funerals here, homegoing celebrations. As you talk about your mothers and your fathers, this was their life verse. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 19, verse 14. And of course, we've considered many others, but let me tell you, give you one more pertaining to David. After he created this fiasco, after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, brought death on her husband, lied and did all these horrible things, he begged God for mercy. You may be that person today. Psalm 51, verses 11 and 12, create in me a clean heart. That's be God's invitation to you, to me today. Don't come to church, just listen and go home and sing a few songs, say you've been to church. Be the church. Say, God, cleanse me. When was the last time? Don't answer out loud. When was the last time you got on your knees and asked God to forgive you and to cleanse you? Well, it's none of your business. You're absolutely right. It's God's business. And that's what David did down here. He restores. He was thankful that God forgave him. He restores my soul. We're hurrying, I will fear no evil, the evil one. He was trusting. His heart, the characteristic of David's heart, was not only alive, contented, obedient, thankful, but also trusting. I will not fear the evil one. He's trusting God on this. All the anxiety today, all the medications, all the fear, false evidence appearing real. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity. We're more than conquerors, it says in Romans 8. Through Jesus Christ who empowers us. He was not afraid of anything. This is little David who slew the lions and the bears, taking care of the sheep. That's what the Bible says. And then when David was facing the giant Goliath, he said, that's the best the world has to offer? That's it? That's it. That's what the world is putting up against God's army. One stone. And I got a pocket full, if he has any more brothers, I'll just take them all out. Amen? Pretty simple. He wasn't afraid. He was trusting God down here. John 10:27 says this, follow the shepherd and not the herd. That's my paraphrase. But how many Christians are doing that today? Follow the herd, follow the world. If all the sheep just go over here and we go off the cliff, here's what the rest of the world's doing. God's saying, no, I set you apart for better things. Be trusting, be obedient. Don't follow the herd. They're going off the cliff sometimes. I will fear no evil. Look down here. My cup runs over. He was humble. Certainly was. To be anointed as the youngest king of Israel, the second after King Saul, and then tagged here as being God's best, God's chosen. More chapters in the Bible remind us again about David than any other person besides Jesus Christ. I think this guy's pretty important. I think I should have a heart that desires to be like his. When God said, I'm looking for this man who's after my heart, we're finding out here from David. His heart was trusting. His heart was humble. His heart was joyful. You find that in verse 6. Joyful. Why? Because he's going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. I know there's trials. I know there's heartaches. For those people that are new to the church, we were talking about this in Sunday school this morning. All the rain, all the warnings we received on our phones. If you have the emergency warning on your phone, we got 4 notifications yesterday of flooding here in the Greenbrier area. 4. High winds. It took me back to the last day of Vacation Bible School a couple of years ago with the epic flooding of 2016. You know what it was? People perished there. Our church, this church, was used as a command site for the state of West Virginia. You realize that? For up to 9 months, we had people sleeping in the gym, in the floor. We had the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the Southern Baptists of West Virginia, as well as the Southern Baptist Convention as a whole. Mickey Kaysen came from Africa someplace, come over here and slept in my office till they got his mobile home, his fifth wheel here. And for months, this church became the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. You know why? Look at your handout. Because we were obedient. We were humble. We were joyful. There's people still mad at God over this. We're not going to go down that road. That's a whole other message. I'm just telling you, if you've been falling in love with Psalm 23, if you haven't unpacked that piece by piece and applied that to your life, this would be a good day to do so. David, a man after God's own heart. Do you have the characteristics? What about your heart? Does it even remotely resemble? What about mine? Does it even remotely resemble what David was here? February, we're going to close out February. Realize the next time we meet, it's going to be March. It doesn't mean you can't do a heart checkup in March. The National Heart Month is in February. Wouldn't this be a good time for you to get your heart right with God? Let me say it again. Wouldn't this be a good time for us to get our hearts right with God? And the answer, joyfully, is yes. Let's pray about that right now. God, again, what a powerful, powerful, powerful psalm. Yet, such a simple message. We want to be men and women after your own heart. It's not too late to allow you, Dr. Almighty, to do heart surgery on us. Please, dear God, touch the hearts of those right now that are dead in their trespasses and sin. Make them alive, born from above. Convict them, compel them unto salvation. Friend, is that you? I'll go back to the Father on your behalf. Father, please save those that know their heart is rotten, not because of what they do or don't do, but they've never trusted you as personal Savior. Quicken them. Move on them. Convict them. And then those of us who say, who claim to be saved, may we learn from today's study that we need to be joyful and humble and obedient and loving and caring and thankful and contented. Dear God, this is so much more we can find from this simple psalm. Have you forgave young David? Forgive us as well. Cleanse us. And your holy word tells us, if we confess our sins, that you will be faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us. Only you, Father. Not a pastor, not a priest, not a bishop, not a deacon, not a teacher. No one. We didn't sin against them. We sinned against you. David made that clear, Father. In the 51st Psalm, against you and you only have I sinned. Yes, of course, it hurt Uriah. Of course, it hurt Bathsheba. Of course, it hurt his own walk and testimony. But against you, ultimately, did he sin. Only you can forgive sins. Please forgive us. Lead us. Guide us. Cleanse us. And may we leave this place changed so we can tell others how, too, they can be made whole and complete as men and women with hearts after yours. Biblically speaking, righteous and holy hearts. Search me, O God, and know my personal pronoun, heart, today, because you are my shepherd. May we all sing this joyfully, jubilantly, knowing it comes from your Holy Script. Please move, Spirit of the living God. We offer this simple prayer through your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, while all of your children said in accord, amen and amen.